This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome. Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Dean Beck and a very fine evening to Benny Bay. Welcome.
Thank you, Dean. Lovely to be here again. How are you doing?
I'm all the better for seeing you, my
dear. Oh, that's so kind of you.
Very much in the thick of midsummer.
Yeah, I had a lovely day in the sun at Carnival the other week. How did you go?
I am...
He's actually peeling. I was going to say
it. Yeah, it's not a good look, which just means I didn't put enough slip, slop, slap on, which means ahead of Pride March this coming Sunday, I will be very much putting it on thick.
You best do that, yes.
Speaking of putting it on thick, tonight we're going to be talking about some rather confronting issues. We'll be talking about a wonderful exhibition that is on at present, part of Midsummer. But if discussions and frank discussions around meth use, including injecting, are triggers for you, then I suggest perhaps you leave this episode alone. But if it is something that challenges you or something that you want to find out more about, then tonight is certainly
absolutely
the show to listen to. We'll be speaking with Mike Vesio, who's part of a collaboration of artists who've put together a very challenging exhibition about people's meth use. And we'll be playing some audio from that exhibition. It's pretty full-on.
It is full-on.
Isn't it?
It sure is.
You've been subjected to it already?
I listened to it before we came on air and I went, wow.
Yeah, wow is one word for it.
Wanna see you get nasty? Wanna see you shake it down, babe? Hey, hey,
nasty, Dean Beck and Benny B with you on the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. Now, Ben,
yes.
On Friday, just gone, I took myself along to the launch of an exhibition that is on at Pronto, the clinic in Fitzroy that's run by VAC.
Yes.
And this exhibition is titled Belonging For It.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exhibition of people who had been through the Rewired course that is about meth use. In fact, let's have a listen to what I got from last Friday, including the coordinator, Jeremy Wiggins.
Sure.
Let's take a listen.
Jeremy Wiggins, and I'm the project lead of alcohol and drug projects at VAC.
This is going to sound like some old fart talking. When I see gay venues now and some of the dance parties that go on, I'm struck by how hard and aggressive and intimidating and unfriendly they actually are as a social event in a social setting. Now there's an edge to what happens in clubs, and it's not uncommon for friends of my age when they go into it to turn around and say, they think they're having fun, but they're not.
As part of my program at VAC, I coordinate the therapeutic groups, including Rewired and Rewired 2.0, which are support groups for men who want to change their meth use, and I facilitate some of those groups. And I guess throughout that experience, I realized that people's stories are really powerful, and they're so afraid to be able to share them. So I thought, how about we harness those amazing stories to be able to help others and start a dialogue around methamphetamine use amongst gay, bi and queer men. And I felt the best way to sort of convey that message was through a creative project that was artistic, that was accessible, that was fun and engaging.
So there's a cultural definition of what having fun as a gay man means now, which in fact is not such great fun, but it's considered to be. So talk about gay men and gay male communities and issues of intimacy and maturity and relationships is something I think we can easily encourage more of and talk about, because we've neglected it.
And that led me to think that the best way to do that was through some sort of fun, creative cartoon type project. And I know of Sam Wallman's work and I love his work. I knew of some sound artists and digital animators, and I just approached some people and said, are you interested in this concept? Would you like to work on this? And they all jumped at the opportunity. And I guess 6 months later, now we have these 8 amazing stories.
We had the most extraordinary sex I'd had. It was fantastic. It was very powerful. And we hooked up a number of times over a couple of weeks. And slowly I began to realize that, in fact, he was a very heavy meth user, and that what our connecting meant for him was I was simply one of many men he was connecting with. And that in fact, the intensity of what I thought was happening in the relationship was entirely drug created. And it also gave me a chance to kind of study someone in detail who was heavily affected by meth. And I can remember one of the critical points for me was he lived in a very smart apartment and it was very well appointed. And his kitchen was one of these whiz-bang designer kitchens with this big flash European refrigerator with a metal finish. And I opened it one night and it was completely empty apart from a jug of water. And later I looked back at that and thought, this man doesn't eat, he doesn't shop, he doesn't do any of the normal things that we do day to day, because his life was so heavily caught up with meth.
That cover issues around sex and intimacy and drug use within a context of being gay, bi or queer. And I think that people will really take a lot from those stories. Yeah.
For me, I had this experience of personally finding meth incredibly powerful and incredibly intimate, and then realizing that in a setting where someone else is using it in a very problematic way, that there was no intimacy at all. So I came away from that, again, being wary of meth. Now that the popular kind of narrative given out by the positive community is we are well-informed and making our own choices and we use drugs responsibly and we know what we're doing. And I don't accept that as the full explanation. I know many, many gay men and positive men who've been really fucked over by meth and have not just had a little bit of a problem, but have actually had their lives wiped out. They've lost their jobs, they've lost their money, they've lost their accommodation, they've lost their friendship networks. Those stories are common and fairly substantial.
So, I mean, we have audio pieces and digital animations, and the original prints are to sort of see how a video like this comes to form, from hand drawing an image to all the way through to the final product. But also we've transformed space to be sort of interactive. You know, Sam's done paste-ups and drawings on the outside of the building, inside the building, so you can kind of walk through and really appreciate his work and the work of Bailey and Michelle and Elle and Murray on many levels, not just cartoons.
No, I don't think the positive gay community really talks enough about this in the full complexity of what's going on. If you talk to people one-to-one, you can open up that discussion. if you talk to people about the number of times they come across people that are using meth when they're on apps and hooking up, they'll again and again talk about how frequent it is, and they'll talk about having very mixed responses to it, and often about how messy it was and disappointing and pointless, etc., to the point where they're cautious about it.
Trans people also have higher prevalence of drug use, and there's an intersection between these two communities. So across Equinox and Pronto, I think that punters and patients and clients will hopefully enjoy the exhibition as well.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
Joining us, Ben, is Mike Vissio, who I hope will be kind enough to consider my butchering of his soundscape as an homage to the tremendous work.
We did warn him.
Mike, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the program. Really appreciate it. And no butchering at all. I was actually quite impressed. It was good.
The stories that you and Jeremy captured are so intimate, so raw, so real, and you and Jeremy were the only two people other than the person telling that story in that space. Tell me what that was like for you to be there and to hear this stuff.
Yeah, well, initially, what an honour to be involved in this project, and sitting with each individual person whilst they were recounting their story and letting us know about their journey was such an incredible and powerful experience. These men were so vulnerable, and to a certain extent, I mean, I didn't know any of these people. They obviously knew Jeremy, so I was just so impressed by the way they were able to trust in that sort of forum and in that space. And some of the stuff was confronting, but because of the powerful message that was behind it, it really made it an easy project to deal with and to edit. In some instances, there was one particular story that it wasn't a trigger for me, but the story was quite in-depth and quite sad. And whilst I was editing it, having to listen back to that story and to that encounter over and over again, it was actually quite sad that I ended up crying for, you know, a couple of days. So I would edit, you know, a 10-minute story, and then I would just have to recompose myself because I was crying at the end of it whilst I was editing on my software. And that just shows how powerful these stories are. So hopefully I'm certain that when people listen to these particular stories, they will get the same feeling, because it's just so passionate and so wonderfully melancholy. I should use words on air that I know how to say.
I was just going to ask, Mike, like, why did you want to get involved with this project? Was this an issue that sort of you'd seen that we've got a problem with that needs to be addressed? What was it for you?
I think purely Jeremy approached me. I've known Jeremy for a certain amount of years, and he knows what I do, and so I think from a creative perspective, I jumped at the opportunity. It wasn't until I actually got into it that I was like, wow,
yep. There's something here.
This is not just a fun project.
There's nothing light and fluffy about this.
Yes. No, and obviously being in the queer community and being active to a certain extent, and having done radio myself, where I've interviewed people about chemsex and what have you, I've sort of had an understanding of what there was involved, and this was something that I think is really important because of the prevalence of meth use and in the queer community.
And how did you sort of approach this project as an artist?
I did a lot of research. So from a sound artist perspective, I looked for a lot of point of references from other sound artists that I was really interested in. There was a few videos by The Nowness that I sort of draw upon in the way they sort of captured these particular stories. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, it still remained organic and it was still tied into the particular story without diverted too much away from with the sound effects. Because whilst...
It's a fine line, isn't it?
Well, it is, you know, and there was a difficulty in getting that balance because whilst it is an audiovisual experience and it is about the art, we need to remember that these stories are going to be used as a therapeutic tool in groups to educate peers or the people that fit into this criteria and this demographic in relation to their drug use.
We've had a really important message come through from Nathan who says, I engage in chemsex frequently. Without it, I would not have been able to express my sexuality freely because of the homophobic upbringing that Nathan had in his family and elsewhere. And so I think it's important to state at this point in time, in no way are we demonising people for engaging in this practice. We're having a conversation around what it is like for some people. And thank you so much, Nathan, for sharing that. It's an important part of the equation.
Definitely. And thank you for reiterating that. Yeah, that's really important to understand that while there is a harm minimization aspect to this project, as you said, the project doesn't demonize meth use. There's some very pragmatic ways to go about that, and that's not the project's sort of core value. It's just about presenting stories of eight different men and their experiences with meth use. So that's very important to know that we're not condemning use in this project.
And in telling those stories, perhaps it gives strength to people to be able to manage their use accordingly and do so in a way that does reduce the harm and does become manageable. We're speaking with Mike Vessio, who is the sound artist responsible for the Belonging For It exhibition. It's currently on at Pronto. Do get along and see it if you can. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
So, why don't we just fuck?
Hide and seek.
The show that explores sex, sexuality and self. Benny B and Dean Beck with you on this edition of Hide and Seek. Mike Vessio, sound artist extraordinaire, is with us. He is part of the exhibition, which is a multimedia exhibition of imagery and animation and sound and stories, Mike.
Yes. Do you want me to say things?
I'll say you like.
Let's briefly touch on some of the main themes that have come out for you from this exercise.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry about cutting you off there as well. I suppose as the title of the project suggests, Belonging For It, the undercurrent theme for all eight stories, when we collated them together, the title didn't come until after, a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
Most stories that we recorded and we were editing, that was the underlying theme. And also trying to get a connection was one of the other major things as well.
People seeking connection.
Seeking connection from an intimate level, or like a one-on-one or whatever sort of other sex practices that you're into, but also connection to a community or to a group of people. And definitely intimacy came into play there, and it was just incredible how powerful it was for people
and how universal it
was
too.
And universal. It was just like when we were listening to it, it's like, wow, this is why this is happening.
Yep.
And this is why this is kind of rife in our communities, where people are seeking sort of tangible relationships and something that's of substance and
base level stuff. The intimacy,
it's
connection,
it's instant. It's there. It's
something we can all relate to. Let's take a listen to Mike's work, actually, unabridged and unbutchered by me. So this is another example of the Belonging For It exhibition and another story that Mike has put together.
So when I started going out on the gay scene is kind of where I started using drugs. I felt like I was part of friends and it was part of our weekend life and just felt connected with everyone. I stopped kind of doing all that stuff, primarily because ecstasy was becoming a waste. It didn't actually do anything. A crystal came into my life. I was, about 30, and it came through a friend of mine. And then I remember having a guy that I had played with say, "Do you want to try?" And I said, "Yeah, okay, why not?" And he had to inject me, and it didn't go too well. But we still had fun, and then after a while, I started liking it, and for the first 2 years, I refused to learn how to inject myself as a safety mechanism. I didn't have the coordination to do it. It was me trying to keep it at a distance and controlled, which means I would have to do the drugs with someone else. I think luckily for me, this aspect I kind of like. Luckily for me, Crystal is always associated with sex and trying to feel connected. I think that's what I've been trying to do my entire life. So yeah, so doing the drugs was always trying to feel connected and feel wanted, and through the course of therapy and dealing with that, you can see that's what it all is. Well, for me, not everybody else, for me it definitely is. So yeah, I feel lucky that I don't do crystal on my own, by myself, and be isolated. And I have used it in the past to, when I've felt terrible and depressed and mental illness and everything else has taken a hold of me, to run away, because you forget about everything. Then again, I have used that, gone to a sex venue, disappeared for 3 days, you know what I mean, and then come back. Then the meth starts to affect you in multiple ways, not just with you not being in a state to be seen out at a bar or something like that. You just can't be asked because you're coming down, you feel like shit. You're not meeting up for lunch, for movies, you start saying no to everything. The only connection then I could get was with Crystal, being fucked up, because then I could tolerate everybody. And then it starts to take effect of your mental health. Yeah, I couldn't cope with anything. So when things went bad, when things went south in my life, when, you know, I got dumped, or when I got made redundant, my emotional state was not strong enough to deal with those kind of things. So I went to Crystal. So then just this, steamroll effect that gets worse and worse. Yeah, it's kind of like quitting smoking. You know, to be able to sit there and say, that's it, it's over with. I started seeing a counselor and stopped, I deleted and stopped hanging out with the guys. I made a new group of friends who were all drug addicts and just did sex parties every weekend. So I stopped going and stopped calling and deleting their numbers and blocking their numbers and just not seeing them. Which then meant I had no friends, because I'd already lost connection with my other friends. I have a dog now that I'm responsible for. He's the best thing. He gives me mental stability, someone who absolutely loves me. I need to come home. I need to be home every day. I need to be in a state. I've got to take him for a walk.
That is another example of Mike's great work, but also of the Belonging For It exhibition. Again, such powerful stories, and those themes of connection and intimacy and friendship coming through really strong.
Yeah, definitely. I found with this particular story, again, those themes there, but also the themes of a sense of being othered in relation to the person's drug use and how they were being perceived by, their other friends, mm-hmm. and how they had distanced themselves. And so this was actually quite a beautiful story because, you know, he came through the other side and, he's worked out what works for him and how it can, maintain a very responsible and accountable life. And I really love that, that last bit where he's talking about his dog. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, you've got this sort of heavy sense of, I had something quite heavy on you when you were listening to it. And then towards the end, you're just like, wow, this person's gone through so much. And these are just edited versions. I mean, most of these interviews ran for an hour.
Wow.
So we had a lot of audio footage to figure out. So, and these are, the most of these videos or these audio stories are between, 4 to 10 minutes. So this is sort of like a tip of an iceberg of all these men's experiences. And so, yeah, it's really hard to sort of choose, you know, how you're going to summarize this person's story, but it was such an incredible experience.
Do you think just a case of talking about this issue is a huge thing and just a huge way to combat it? I was having a conversation with a friend the other day and talking about two other friends. They were chatting, saying something about meth use, and then they had sort of gone away and a friend said, well, they both do it, but they're talking to each other like they don't. It's like, these are your close friends and they don't know that you're going away on the weekends and you're doing this, you know, with other people. Whereas should we have, as a friend group, all be talking about it, you'd have that support there.
I think it's really important to have this sort of discourse within our community and really start sharing these stories with one another. I think, you know, it's kind of a way that we can strengthen our community, the LGBTIQIA plus community, in relation to these things. If we keep it sort of suppressed, I think it really defeats the purpose. And this is what this kind of project is trying to do, is to open this discourse.
Absolutely. But in saying that, this project is anonymous. These people are anonymous. And the reason people speak in abstract form about the issue is because of the judgment that we as individuals and as a collective place on those that use. I mean, that is why we create safe spaces and we create safe dialogue by being abstract. I mean, I'm even doing it in having this conversation as we speak, just so that we protect ourselves. But in the same instance, we need to have these conversations. They need to be out in the public arena so that we can start to free up some of that stigma and free up some of that judgment, because we're going to be in a hell of a situation if we don't.
Yeah, that's very true.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. This is a conversation about meth use that is pretty heavy, but we'd like you to stick with us because we've got more after this.
This is Joy 94.9 and you're on Hide and Seek. Dean Beck in the studio, myself, Benny B, and special guest tonight, Mike Vesio, who is a sound artist.
And responsible for the sound part of the Belonging For It exhibition. It is on at Pronto, which is, of course, the clinic in Rose Street, Fitzroy. It's on through to the 4th of Feb. Get along and see it. It's free and part of Midsummer, brought to you by VAC. Now, Mike, you're not the only person responsible for this, are you?
That's what I wanted to talk about. I don't want to take all the glory here. No, I've been involved collaborating with a bunch of rad creative people. Jeremy Wiggins, of course, as a project lead, an amazing person who's put this all together, and his vision for this project is second to none, and such a pleasure to work with. Scouting the talent, so you will, our interviewees, and it was such a beautiful thing, and it was such a beautiful thing to work alongside with him when we were doing the interviews. There was a point when we would do one of the interviews and I stared back at him and we both had a tear running down our eye. Wow. It was actually quite a really special moment. And that was such a bonding, for me anyway, it was such a bonding experience with Jeremy, just to be able to share this particular thing together. Obviously, illustrator, comic artist, Sam Wallman, who's quite well known within Melbourne.
Just an extraordinary artist, clearly.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. And able to capture the essence of these stories. And, you know, I mean, he had a task ahead of him. He didn't know these people, had not seen them before, and he had to draw impressions the characters for all these stories, and he did such an amazing job and in telling the story, and as such a wonderful and kind person as well, and he'd been able to express this. There was also animator Bailey Sharp, who lives in Sydney,
who put together all these amazing videos and spent days upon days rendering these videos and adding closed captions to the videos as well. Like, such an amazing artist themselves. And quite a funny thing is that none of us had ever sort of shared the same room up until, like...
Oh. Until Friday.
Like whilst we were bumping in.
Yeah, right.
Because Sam was... in the States following the Trump situation, and Bailey lives in Sydney. So we were doing this sort of remote Dropbox, Skype, YouTube collaboration.
And it came together so beautifully.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, not without, like, you know, challenges, sure, but amazing. Sure. And also Elwyn Murray, who was a curator for the program as well, and just put together all the amazing bits and pieces so we could... listen to everything, and they're amazing. So it's just really, really beautiful to work along with these people, really creative in their own rights, and hats off to them. But also I do, you know, want to mention a big thank you to the eight men that we did interview, because without them there would be no project. And just, you know, sincerely want to say thank you for contributing to our program
and
or to our program.
I would say, I mean, and you guys, you said you shed a tear and got a lot of out of it. You think the interviewees actually got a lot from sharing that, being able to share those stories?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. They had this sense where they felt they were belonging to this particular project, but it gave them an opportunity to speak about what they were going through. And I think a lot of them were excited their stories were going to be told as well. And obviously they'd been through other programs as well, through VAC as well, which is probably how they got involved in this project. So I think they had a sense of relief and a sense of that I'm going to be involved in something really big.
We have one more story to listen to. It is told by a 19-year-old young man. And so let's have a listen to more of Mike's amazing work.
I was in a relationship with a partner of mine that was almost double my age. A very attractive man, and just had these incredible adventurous scenarios that we dissipate in, you know, sexually with multiple partners, and I wanted to be a part of that community. And it's only now in hindsight that I can actually see that you can pursue that without the use of drugs, or pursue that with limitations. You know, an understanding to stand up for yourself. But it's hard to negotiate that at the age of 19. But the thing was, you know, about a year and a half into our relationship, we're living together, and we made the realization that we hadn't really had sex without drugs, and that we then identified that, okay, it's time that we come up with ways to try and break that habit, break the cycle. And, you know, maybe use once in every 6 months. And that's when we truly understood that we had a problem. I mean, after we'd identified that, it took us another 6 months of playing every other weekend on drugs to actually revisit that. We had a few scenarios where you could classify that as a rock bottom, like seeing someone getting beaten close to death because of a psychotic episode. Others, you know, a whole house being flipped upside down because there was voices in the walls. And this is while six, maybe eight on an average, men are just fucking in the rooms. This is maybe 3 years into my drug use as an intravenous drug user. I actually looked back to my 18th birthday and I was just like, how quickly I have changed. I've turned up to a friend's birthday party. The party turned very quickly into a intervention for me, where they just wanted to point out to me that I'd changed so much from the person that they had known ever since I was 15. At first, all I could think was, they don't really understand me, they don't get it. They don't get what moderated use is. You know, I'm a functioning member of society that's using, going to work, and it took about a full year before I actually decided, no, this is it, this is the person that I don't want to be. And that's when actually the battle truly started. I had to go through my phone and delete all of my contacts. you know, and basically start from scratch, removing all my online profiles, websites like TBRT, Hot Zones for triggers and whatnot. All of those had to be taken away. I exposed myself to going to Narcotics Anonymous, and it was to the point of exhaustion. When I was an intravenous drug user, I thought that that was one of the prerequisites of being a sexually adventurous man. The intimacy and connection due to the influence of drugs was simply not the case afterwards. Ultimately, it led to, you know, after a multitude of failures being using drugs again, I would then go, I'm not having sex for 12 months. And this was, you know, my first year where I actually started seeing results from trying to be sober. Probably the biggest thing that's helped me maintain my sobriety, though, is, like, being brutally honest. Being brutally honest about my usage back in the day, and that I still struggle with, you know, triggers, and that is how I kind of rekindled connection with people, because it was that vulnerability that led to the climax of physical activities, like sexual activities, with that person without having to explore, you know, being triggered or whatnot.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
Full on, Mike Vesio. Full on stuff.
Full on. Yes, full on. Yes, powerful. I've said powerful like 1,000 times, but that is the main word for these stories. And
a huge privilege.
My breath just leaves me every time I listen to these stories, and how weird to listen to my work there. And in context, I mean, a lot of those sound effects would make more sense if you actually saw the visuals. So just a plug, please go see the exhibition / project at Pronto at 175 Rose Street.
Absolutely.
Check out the Midsummer Guide as well, because Pronto is not open every day. So you have a bit of an understanding of the opening times and the hours. But yeah, as a complete project, that makes more sense. And yeah, the visuals themselves actually just make your heart skip a beat, because it's just so powerful and altogether. But yeah, just such a privilege and an honor to be involved in this project. And the men who spoke to us, like, how beautiful and wonderful they were to give up their time and the vulnerability for this project.
The exciting part is that these stories will form part of the TouchBase website, which is the national resource for LGBTIQ people that intersects drugs and sexuality and mental health. And it's a tremendous resource, again, one of Jeremy's little babies. So
totally. Yes. Sorry. And yeah, and I suppose, yeah, and the end product is that after all this, just to reiterate that these are going to be used as therapeutic tools for people that fit this demographic and this criteria, so they can listen to stories.
Mike Vesio, thank you so much for joining us on Hide and Seek tonight.
Thank you both for having me, Dean and Ben.
No worries.
You are listening to the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. We'll be back to say goodbye very shortly.
If you are a part of the GLBTI community, Helen is a community social group based in South Yarra here to support those from a Middle Eastern background and other nationalities who speak Arabic. Helen celebrates the unique cultural backgrounds and diverse sexuality of the Arab people of the community. Gatherings are held monthly on the first Wednesday of the month from 7 p.m. 6 Claremont Street, South Yarra. For more information, search Helen Melbourne on Facebook or email us at helm2012@gmail.com. Community message supported by Joy.
Sorry, that's just a sympathy boner.
Well, it's time for us to say goodnight.
It is time.
Another light and fluffy hide and seek.
Yes.
Till next time.
Thank you.
You go out and get have fun.
I'm going to have fun tonight. I'm going out. I'm going out, everyone. Yeah. I'll see you there.
Till next time. See you later. Bye.
Night night.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choose well. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choose Well to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose Well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.